It is Friday, June 8th, and now it's time for the Vermilion County News, which covers the commercial news and any other information that might show up in the News Gazette about places in Vermilion County. Starting with page one, economic studies suggest moving Route 1 by Brianna Kirkham, Danville. A study of traffic and economic development on Vermilion Street and Bowman Avenue was presented Wednesday to the Danville Area Transportation Study Technical Committee and later to the general public. After surveying residents and collecting data, the Springfield-based planning group, Hanson Professional Services, which has conducted around three studies for Danville in the past 20 years, presented their findings, which showed traffic and safety concerns on Vermilion Street. The average speed showed drivers traveling at about 43 miles per hour, almost 10 miles per hour above the posted limit, according to Becca Wagner, an engineer intern at Hanson. Vermilion is already towing the line, especially north of Winter, of needing excess control, she said. She explained that during a public meeting in September 2017, about 50 residents gave their opinions and voiced their concerns. We know we need a north-south road that's not Vermilion Street, Wagner said. One of the options is to create a new beltline or to turn Bowman Avenue into a beltline. Of the people surveyed, most prefer to use the Bowman option. Additionally, community members reported feeling unsafe while driving on Vermilion Street. Most said they were in favor of a lane reduction, which residents in other towns are usually against, Wagner said. Other alternatives to increase safety on Vermilion Street include urban design elements, speed notification signs that tell drivers when their driving is too fast, or elevated intersections to force drivers to slow down. Kurt Brialabeski, a Hanson traffic engineer, also explained how traffic relates to Danville's economy. While the Vermilion corridor has limited commercial land available, the commercial growth is stable and property values are increasing, the study showed. The Bowman corridor has seen both commercial and population declines. Brialabeski said because Danville is central to the University of Illinois, Purdue University, and Rose-Hulman Institute of Technology, there is potential to grow the area's digital economy. There are about 1,700 available acres, the study predicted, that could go toward creating manufacturing and logistics jobs. During the next 20 years, about 2,400 to 7,000 jobs could be created, increasing Danville's population by 6,000 to 17,000 people, according to the study. If the population grows that much, there will be a need to meet the housing demand, which Brialabeski believes could be achieved through adding residential areas to the Bowman Avenue and Main Street areas. They also suggested relocating Illinois Route 1 away from Vermilion Street and onto Bowman Avenue, which they think should move truck migration. If something like this happens, though, IDOT and the city would have to work it out, Brialabeski said. The next DATS Technical Committee meeting is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. on July 5th. This next article, Laura Lee honors 8 as Men of Distinction by Mary Wyckoff. It's important for youth to have a male mentor or role model, especially in the African American community, one pastor says. There is an absence of men, of fathers in the community and in the home, said the Reverend Steve Perkins, pastor of Allen Chapel AME Church. The only heroes young people see are on television. That's why it's important that we get out the community and make a positive impact, he said. Perkins and 7 other men who are making an impact in the community, the church, and or the family will be honored Sunday as Men of Distinction. The Women's Auxiliary of Laura Lee Fellowship House will present its second annual program at 4 p.m. Sunday at Laura Lee, 212 East Williams Street. In addition to Perkins, the reception will honor Dwight Adkins, David Buford, Reggie Cloyd, Darren Farr, Arthur Hale, Lloyd Randall, and Aaron Worthington. Frederica Farr, Auxiliary President, says she's pleased with the selections. The public is invited to the free reception, where each honoree will be introduced by a presenter and will say a few words. There will be refreshments and possibly a soloist, Farr said. Last year, for the first time, the Auxiliary honored 8 men of distinction, following the same selection process and criteria as for the women. The men were chosen on how active they were in the community. 8 women of distinction were honored in March for their contributions to the community. The Auxiliary has been honoring outstanding women for about 25 years. One of the honorees this year, Dwight Adkins, said, "This is one award I appreciate more than anything. I'm proud they chose me. Antkin, semi-retired as owner of C&D Barbecue, is known for the scholarships he has awarded in the past to high school students. He still helps out young people when he can. All of my life I wanted to give, he said. Out there I'm just trying to do my part. I thank God that a lot of people believe in me. Pastor Perkins said, I have been blessed to get this honor as one of the men of distinction. They tell me it's because of my work in, around, and through the community. I'm honored to have that privilege. I try to be a man about the community. Perkins has been in Danville 4 years, but, he said, whatever community I reside in, I try to make an impact to help better the city, the community, and its citizens. Perkins said he goes to the schools to make his presence known with the principals and teachers, but he said, more importantly, with the African-American young people, both male and female. Sometimes the principals or teachers ask him to mentor a troubled student. Sometimes the student will confide in him about problems at home or in school. Then Perkins tries to act as a mediator between the child and the teachers or parents. Other men in the community also make an indelible impact, he said, adding, we are able as African American leaders to come together to make positive changes. For example, the leaders work on various preventive measures, such as conflict resolution. He said he was grateful to the Laura Lee Auxiliary for recognizing men who are trying to make a mark on the community. Nominations from the community for the 2019 Women of Distinction and Men of Distinction will be accepted through the Laura Lee Fellowship House. The Women's Auxiliary is a group of women that was formed to help Laura Lee Fellowship House purchase items that were needed but not in the budget. The group provides scholarships, visits seniors in nursing homes, contributes to benefits for people who are ill, contributes to Laura Lee Fellowship House, and holds a Vesper Hour on a Sunday in September. The Auxiliary accepts young women of any race who have a willing mind and are ready to participate. The group meets at 4 p.m. on the second Sunday of each month at Laura Lee. And this next article. Rockin' Registration. District 118 makes process fast and fun. By Carol Rome. Northridge Middle School was rocking a totally awesome 80s-themed registration table, while Southwest Elementary School's registration table looked like a tropical beach party with an inflatable flamingo. Not only do Danville District 118 officials hope that families are finding this year's new streamlined approach to student registration more convenient than in years past, but also more entertaining. Everyone decorated their table. Every school has a theme, curriculum director Mary Ellen Button said. Northridge looks like an 80s yearbook. It's fabulous. Northridge principal Eliza Brooks, wearing an I Love the 80s t-shirt and a big green earrings, danced around to 80s music piped into the arena while playing an inflatable guitar. Associate Principal Robin Fluno donned an MTV shirt, as well as other staff members who brought their colorful MTV shirts recently from a local retailer. Fluno estimated that 25% of Northridge's students were registered on Wednesday and are ready for the first day of school in August. District 118 registration continues today from 8 a.m. to noon at the David S. Palmer Arena. Because parking around the Civic Center is limited, a shuttle service will be available from Heavenly Square, Danville Area Community College, Kmart, Danville Stadium, Fair Oaks, and Garfield School. The shuttles will leave the lots at 8:30 a.m. and then every half hour after that. The last run from the lots will leave at 11 a.m., and the last run from the Civic Center will leave at noon. The staff at the South U Upper Elementary School table wore tie-dyed green t-shirts as they busily registered 5th and 6th graders. It's very fluid and parents seem happy about it, Southview School next year said about the registration. School staff manned the registration tables, either working in shifts or volunteering to work for the whole day, Campbell said. Families at the Southview table received a copy of the student handbook and a list of extracurricular activities for which students could sign up. It's a very easy process. It's very easy in and out, fifth grade teacher Skolmer Frazier said. It takes about 5 minutes per child, Campbell added. Parents, especially ones with more than one child to register, had positive comments about the new registration process. I think it's better this year. It's a lot more spacious and less crowded and more organized, said Mary El Afoui, who accompanied her three children as they registered at the high school, Southview Upper Elementary School, and Mark Denman Elementary School. Latoya Parrish swiftly made the rounds to the tables to register her five children at three different schools, three at Mark Denman Elementary, one at Southview Upper Elementary, and one at Northridge Middle School. Parrish described the process to register her children in previous years as horrible and time-consuming. Sometimes with work and everything, you couldn't get to all the schools, she said. You couldn't get it all done in the same day. Parrish said she enjoyed this year's centralized registration event and appreciated the effort the staff at each school put into making it a fun event. They have little gifts at each table, she noted. Jessica Russell registered her two daughters, first grader Alexa Alvarez and fifth grader Eliana Alvarez, on Thursday and has a third child who needed to be registered at the Danville High School table. This is a lot better, she said. I like the layout. Eighth grade Northridge Middle School student April Tapia said her favorite part of the registration event was seeing the principals and teachers dressed up according to their school's theme. DHS librarian Kurt Weiler dressed as Danville High School's mascot, Odin the Viking, complete with horns on his hat. DHS freshman Raquel Townsend and his cousin, Northridge 8th grader Ricardo Townsend, were amused at Willer's Viking outfit. It's funny, Raquel said. Ricardo agreed. It was kind of cool. Willer, who likes to dress up in medieval garb, said, it's all good fun. And this article from Hoopston. Hoopston Council discusses proposal by Carol Hicks. City Council members met Wednesday in special session regarding infrastructure needs for the economic development project at Heritage Park. Harry Brockus and Russ Lee, representing the Hoopston Retirement Village Foundation, were present for part of the meeting to answer questions and to ask the city to make a commitment in writing for the planned development. Brockus also made the request to include parking lots, streets, and curbing in the infrastructure. We have people ready to commit, Brockus said, but without infrastructure, it won't happen. Lee added the motel and restaurant investors were not interested in TIF funds to build their business, but did need the infrastructure. The project to develop a motel and restaurant on Illinois Route 9, West Orange Street, between Shelby Carter Motors of Hoopston and Marathon would cost about $3 million for water, sewer, streets, parking lots, curbs, lighting, and an additional pump station, according to Tracy Billings of C2 Engineers. Although Brockus and Lee wanted to have the infrastructure in by December 31st, the earliest building said the work could be completed was by June 1st, 2019. Plans would have to be submitted to IDOT first, she said, and that would take about 30 to 60 days, which would make it October 1st before they could break ground. One point of contention for Alderman Bill Goodwine was how to pay for the project. I'm willing to lean $1.5 million in foundation assets against it, said Brockus when asked what the foundation would invest. In addition to using TIF funds for the infrastructure, city reserves, USDA grants, or municipal bonds were suggested as a way to fund the project by the city. Holmes also suggested doing the work in phases. Later, after a lengthy discussion among council members, the council decided to make a counteroffer and present more questions to Brockus and Lee that had cropped up during the discussion. As a side note to the meeting, Brockus, as part of the Hoopston Land Improvements, said the organization signed papers to take over the Vermilion Iron Building on North 6th Avenue. The organization plans to tear it down, he said. And now let me move to the obituaries. There are quite a few today, and we'll start with Sharon Murdoch. Sharon Murdoch, 79, of Georgetown, passed away at 6:23 p.m. Wednesday, June 6th, at her home. A celebration of Sharon's life will be at noon Sunday, June 10th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street in Georgetown. Visitation will be 10 a.m. to noon Sunday, prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Forest Park Cemetery in Georgetown. Rashonda Renee Hodges Lillard. Rashonda Renee Hodges, 36, of St. Louis, Missouri, met with her Heavenly Father at 7:39 a.m. Saturday, May 26, 2018. A homegoing celebration will commence at noon on Saturday, June 9th, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue. Visitation will be at 11 a.m., until the time of the service. Pastor Frederick L. Cohen will officiate. Interment will be at the Spring Hill Cemetery. Clarence O. Martin, 70, of Westville, passed away Tuesday, June 5th, peacefully at his home. A celebration of Clarence's life will be at 11 a.m. Sunday, June 8th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with Matt Felischke officiating. Visitation will be 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, prior to the service. He will be laid to rest at a later date in Sunset Memorial Park. Memorials can be made in Clarence's name to the American Heart Association. John Everett Burroughs, Jr. John Everett Burroughs, Jr., 91, of Danville, formerly of Catlin, died at 1:50 p.m. June 4, 2018, at the VA Medical Center. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. Monday, June 11th, at the Danville National Cemetery with military honors by David Busby Catlin, American Legion Post 776. No flowers, please. Memorials may be made to the Ridgeview Church, the Boy Scouts of America, and or the Catlin Historical Society. Joanne McAllister Powell. Joanne McAllister Powell, 75, of Vetersburg, Indiana, went to be with the Lord at 4:33 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time Tuesday on June 5th at her residence. Visitation will be 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Monday, June 11th at Dickerson Funeral Home in Vetersburg. Service will be at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time Monday at the funeral home with Minister Gary Johnson officiating. Interment at Bonebreak Cemetery will be at a later date. Ronnie D. Johnson. Ronnie D. Johnson, 67, of Danville, passed away at 12:48 p.m. Tuesday, June 5th, in the emergency room at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral services will be at noon Saturday at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with Reverend Phil Jackson and Pastor Cindy Watkins officiating. Burial in the Oakwood Cemetery at Oakwood. Visitation is from 10 a.m. till service time on Saturday at Robeson Chapel. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society or the Diabetes Association. Rita Delanoy from Westville. Rita Rakowski Delanoy, 87, of Westville, passed away on Wednesday, June 6th. A mass of Christian burial will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, June 9th, at St. Mary's Catholic Church, 231 North State Street in Westville, with the Reverend Timothy Saup officiating. Visitation will be 11 to 1 p.m. Saturday at the Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street in Westville. She will be laid to rest at a later date in Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Norma Robb. Norma Josephine Learcamp Robb, 88, died Tuesday, June 5th at 10:30 a.m. at home following a short illness. Her funeral services will be Saturday, June 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Shelby Funeral Home with David Shelby officiating. Burial will follow in Mount Hope Cemetery. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to time of the services at 1 p.m. Deborah Huckabee. Deborah Huckabee, 57, of Danville, died at 2:14 p.m. Monday, June 4th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Memorial services will be at 5 p.m. today, Friday, at Cumberland Presbyterian Church, 201 Fraser Street in Georgetown. Rortveld Funeral Services, 3 Hodge Street in Tilton, is in charge of arrangements. Edward Calvin. Edward, also known as Ed J. Calvin, 73, of Hobart, Indiana, formerly of Danville, passed away June 6th. His funeral service will be at 10 a.m. Monday, June 11th, at Burns Funeral Home, 701 East 7th Street in Hobart. Interment at the Chapel Lawn Cemetery, Schererville, Indiana. Pastor Jerry Martin officiating. Visitation is 1 to 6 p.m. Sunday, June 10th at Burns, and I'm assuming that is at Eastern Daylight Time. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the American Cancer Society. Elizabeth Ann Walker. Elizabeth Ann Walker transitioned to her heavenly home on Sunday, May 27, 2018, at the City of Hope Medical Center in Duarte, California. A homegoing celebration will commence at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 9th, at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 1215 West Bradley Avenue in Urbana. Visitation will be at 10 a.m. until the time of service. Visitation also will be at 1 to 5 p.m. Friday at Leek & Sons Urbana Chapel. Officiating will be Pastor Byron L. Smith, Sr. And now returning to some other news in Danville. The community briefs in Danville. Garden Walk set. Vermilion County Master Gardeners plan the 18th Annual Garden Walk from noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets are $10 and available for purchase at the Vermilion County Extension Office in Plaza 31 at 3164 North Vermilion Street, Barry's Garden Center, Big R in Danville and Tilton, Danville Gardens, Treasured Roots in Hoopston, and the Rossville Village Office. The walk features 8 gardens in Rossville and Hoopston. Library plans programs. The Danville Public Library's Wonder Garden Club teaches children about plants and how to care for them. The program begins at 9:30 a.m. Monday in the downstairs meeting room for ages 5 to 11 and with those under 8 accompanied by a caregiver. Also from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Monday, visitors can see moon rocks on loan from NASA in the downstairs meeting room. Grotto lists events. Gale Grotto will serve food from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. today. From 7 to 9 p.m., the Mike Ellis Band will perform at the reception hall. All are welcome. Hoosier Daddy will play from 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday on the patio. The Grotto's famous corn dogs will be available for purchase. All are welcome. Neighbors to meet. Holiday Hills Neighborhood Association meets at 5:45 p.m. June 14th at Family Church at Holiday Hills, 1700 North Bowman Avenue. A speaker from Vermilion Advantage will be featured. Contact John Beninati at 260-2149. Collison. Collison United Methodist Church will serve a pork chop dinner 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Sunday at the Collison Lodge for a free will donation. Church service will begin at 9 a.m. under the pavilion. This headline, Danville man found not guilty of murder. A Danville man was found not guilty of murder, but guilty of mob action following a jury trial that ended Thursday afternoon regarding the 2017 murder of Curran Kimmons. Ronald T. Pettis, 24, was convicted of mob action, a Class 4 felony, in the Vermilion County Courthouse. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey and Assistant Attorney Ivo Austin prosecuted the case. Although we are disappointed, we respect the jury's verdict, and we believe the evidence supports felony murder, Lacey said. There are 3 other jury trials regarding Kimmons' murder, currently scheduled for 3 other people, including Ronisha E. Pettis, 26, of Danville, Marcus D. Jefferson, 24, of Chicago, and Malika Anthony, 16, of Danville, all on July 16th at 9 a.m. Ronisha Pettis and Jefferson face the same charges as Ronald Pettis, first-degree murder, aggravated battery, and mob action. Anthony, who was 15 at the time of the murder, will be tried as an adult and faces 5 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of mob action. On May 30, 2017, Danville Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said the officers had responded to the 900 block of Campbell Lane at about 12:20 a.m. in reference to a person reportedly stabbed. At the scene, he said, officers found several people performing CPR on a 43-year-old man who later died at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center, now known as OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Thomason also said there was an apparent argument among several people when Kimmons stepped in. At some point, Kimmons was stabbed. And let me do a little bit of sports for you. It says, Luke retires. Granville graduate will be just the girls' track coach, by Chad Dare. Being the athletics director at Danville High School was never really the plan for B.J. Luke when he left Aurora Wabanse Valley in 2005. He returned to his alma mater back then to serve as the football coach. But after his first two seasons with the Vikings, the opportunity arose for Luke to take over for Terry Hill. On Tuesday, Luke officially became the retired athletics director, 1 year after stepping down as football coach, but he will remain with the school as the girls' track coach. It all started with a phone call from Terry Hill to come back and be the football coach, Luke said. When Terry decided to retire, the AD job was something I ended up getting, and I ended up enjoying it. It was very rewarding. I'm not going away. I'm just taking a step back. Luke pointed out that he will still be around to help when necessary. We just got 3 contracts back from Urbana today, and I got a call from a school about a basketball game in the future, said Luke, who pointed out that the responsibilities of athletics directors are very time-consuming. Scheduling is never done. The big thing that I'm going to be able to do now that I'm retired is to go see my kids' coach, Luke added. I enjoy that an awful lot. His son, R.J. Luke, is an assistant coach for North Gwinnett, the Class 7A state champion last year in Georgia, while his daughter, Ashley Clanton, is the girls' basketball coach with Chicago Mother McCauley. That is one of the main reasons that he has decided to retire now. It's definitely because of family, said Luke, and with the retirement system in Illinois, I've actually been going for a while longer than most people. We've had some really neat things that have happened during my 11 years as the athletics director. We've had some outstanding teams, and when you look at the Big 12 conference overall, we are very well respected. That's the most rewarding part for me as a Danville graduate. And Luke says that a lot of success is because the coaches in their respective programs. Being able to come home and be a part of the tradition that we have here in Danville has been an honor, Luke said. We've tried to build off of that during my time, and hopefully we have been able to leave something for the next person to continue to build off and keep Danville progressing. And while the coaching staffs have done well, Luke believes the true success of the Danville programs can be directly credited to the community and the support system that's been in place for years. Kathy Flannery and Nancy Taylor have been outstanding, Luke said of his secretaries. Kathy broke me in, and Nancy has been the backbone in recent years. At the most recent Big 12 meeting, the other athletics directors told me that I could retire just as long as Nancy was still going to be in the office. I also need to thank the custodial and maintenance department at Danville. Those guys make everything happen around our school, and they are the reason that everyone compliments Danville for its great facilities. I also need to thank our booster club for the things they have done for our programs. Luke admits the biggest challenge in his tenure was the future of the Big 12 Conference. When the Decatur schools left in 2013, I was really concerned what was going to happen to Danville, Luke said. There's no one like us in East Central Illinois. The Bloomington and Normal schools could have jumped with the Peoria schools, and the Champaign-Urbana schools could have left another way. That would have left Danville out as an independent. Instead, Luke helped organize the addition of Peoria High, Peoria Emanuel, Peoria Notre Dame, and Peoria Richwoods to the Big 12. When I played at Danville, being in the Big 12 Conference was an honor, Luke said. I wanted to make sure that all Danville kids got that opportunity in the future. The school district has started searching for a replacement, but a definitive timeline has not been announced. And that'll pretty much do it for commercial news today. This has been Kathy reading for you today on Friday. Hope you have a nice weekend, and we will return next week with more. Please stay tuned for what follows next on Illinois Radio Reader.